Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars from a certain point of view, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. Word of caution before we begin, these conversations may contain some story spoilers. I'm Tom Holler, one of the Delray editors who worked on this amazing project. Right now, I'm talking to Kevin Scott, author of a story called Fake It Till You Make It. Welcome to the show, Kevin.
Hi, Tom.
So you have, either by accident or design, become the definitive Jackson author in Star Wars. So
what a claim to fame that is.
It's fantastic. It's amazing. It should be the first sentence of your CV.
It absolutely is.
So why don't we start by, tell us a little bit about what your history with the character is, and then as part of that, you know, for people for whom this story might be really their first experience with our green friend, what's the appeal of Jackson?
It's a very good question, Tom. For me, Jackson has been part of Star Wars since my beginnings with Star Wars, because long before I saw one of the films, I read the comic. So we're in the latter years of the 70s. Marvel UK published Star Wars Weekly, which reprinted the Marvel run. And the very first thing I ever picked up was Jackson's first story. One of his only few stories back in the day, to be fair, where Han and Chewie get together a group to pull off a heist, and Jackson is one of them. So for me, with that being my first experience of Jackson, I thought he was just part of Star Wars. You know, I'd not seen the films. I knew some of, I knew it through toys and comics and things like that. But yeah, Jackson was there from the off, to the point that when we got to Empire Strikes Back and I went to the cinema, I was really annoyed that Jackson wasn't in it, because for me, he was just as important as any of the other characters. And it was only later that I found out that perhaps his reputation wasn't as strong with certain points of fandom. Imagine my horror when I watched that episode of The Clone Wars and you see a skeleton that looks very much like Jackson.
I remember that.
Yeah. So yeah, I had no idea, but yeah, so he was part and parcel for me, right from the beginning. Now, yeah, some people who are obviously wrong, don't like Jackson. For me, what Jackson represents is the fact that Star Wars can break your heart and will do many, many times. It can be exciting. It can be horrific. It can be terrifying. It can be sad, but it can also be really good fun. And for me, Jackson is the fun element, you know, and he's a reminder that, yeah, you know, the galaxy has some silly things in it as well. It has an admiral who's a fish. So why can't it have a smuggler that's a rabbit who's green?
That's a good question to ask. It's really serendipitous that you happened upon that story, because Jackson really only appeared in like five or seven. Like it's a very small number.
Not even that. I mean, he's literally about three or four issues, because I think then it was a decree came from the top saying never do that again. Jackson sort of like disappeared.
It's impressive then that you happen to find one of those few issues. It's equally impressive too that Jackson has then taken on this rather infamous quality, given just how little of Star Wars he actually was involved in. In fact, there is even, you know, a variant to Star Wars number one from 2015 that has like all of the other characters of Star Wars, or at least the main ones, like literally holding a door closed on Jackson, who's just like, hey, what's going on in there? And the rest of them are on the other side.
Well, Marvel's done quite a few variants with Jackson sort of sneaking into X-Wings. And even when the series relaunched for Charles's run earlier on in the year, there was another Jackson variant with Obi-Wan and Yoda on Dagobah, and Yoda says there is another, and you see Jackson's head popping up behind the tree, and Yoda says, not you. So, you know, he's still there. But over at IDW, on the Star Wars Adventure line, we've embraced Jackson as much as anyone would say they want to do that. So we brought him back into canon about 3 years ago now. And I think it's taken everyone by surprise how popular those issues have been.
Well, and that's a kind of like a second piece of talking about like the appeal of Jackson that I want to ask about, which is, was there a specific moment, or maybe you have known this ever since that very first issue, that you looked at the character from a storytelling standpoint and said, you know what, I have an idea of like, this character has value to further explore in stories, and I have an idea of how to do that. Was there a project you were working on, or was there an idea you had and suddenly you're like, oh my gosh, Jackson is the, you know, the key to unlock this particular idea?
Well, to be fair, I had mentioned Jackson a few times.
I have heard
when we had meetings about Star Wars Adventures and just generally dropping it into conversations. And so then behind the scenes, they'd mentioned Jackson at Lucasfilm as being a potential character who could return to Star Wars Adventures. And because I'd mentioned him one or seven times, and I was writing for Star Wars Adventures at the time, they came to me and said, would you like to do a backup strip with Jackson? And obviously I jumped at the chance thinking that was it, thinking it was a one-off, and brought back Amazer as well, who was his partner in the original series. And for me, the reason why I wanted to tell that story was, A, yes, for the nostalgia and for the fun element. Also, I knew that kids would absolutely dig him. You know, he has a certain quality that children will find appealing. But from a storytelling point of view, he's fascinating because Jackson is all about, especially in my version of Jackson that I've been writing the last few years, is all about wanting to be taken seriously, because no one takes Jackson seriously in fandom, or didn't before, you know, for a long, long time. And he has spent his entire life in universe being compared to other people. He's compared to Han continually because he's a smuggler in a clapped out old ship that doesn't quite work. And he has we've given him a droid partner as well. And there's always that feeling with Jackson that he knows he's good, but no one will quite give him a chance. And he's become a bit of a joke in other parts of canon recently. You know, there's in one of my Choose Your Own Adventure books or Choose Your Destiny books I wrote, Han makes a joke to Leia saying, you know, well, why don't we get Jackson? And she goes, well, I'm not that desperate, you know. So it's that sense that all these characters are looking at him and not taking him seriously. And he knows actually he could do some good stuff if anyone would actually take him seriously, which I think is a really interesting, you know, he's completely not the chosen one. You know, he's the one that people push to the side and don't want to take seriously. So I thought there was loads of interesting things we could do with someone who wants to be like these people who he sees as his peers and other people see as heroes.
It's a really great way of sort of leaning into the popular sentiment about the character and making that a core part of giving that character like internal story drive, which is really compelling. And as part of that, you know, Jackson as an actual character has a pretty specific affect, speaking patterns. There's kind of a kinetic energy to Jackson's stories that's a little bit all his own, even though he is a smuggler. Like, his stories don't read like Han Solo stories or Lando stories, or, you know, et cetera. So is there kind of a secret or a key to writing Jackson well? Is there something about like the dialogue that you have to keep in mind, or the way that he speaks or acts, that you're like, this I have is unique to Jackson and isn't necessarily unique to other Star Wars characters?
Well, I think there's no secret that Jackson is influenced by Looney Tunes cartoons. You know, the original creation was, and there's so many names in his stories. Which I think he was named after something that Bugs Bunny used to say when he used to call people Jackson. So, you know, it's literally where he came from. And so you try and get that sort of those Tex Avery kind of energy to his antics. But obviously you have to balance that and still make it feel like part of the galaxy far, far away. And that's what I've tried to do through all of this. Yeah, there is a certain kinetic and animatic way of dealing with Jackson, and you know, and he is larger than life, but at the same point, like all these characters and every part of Star Wars, you've got to have that moment of charm and quiet when you actually pull back and go, no matter what he looks like, you know. And it's the same through any Star Wars creation. No matter what the alien or the creature looks like, they're still a person at heart. So I think that's the balancing act you've got to get. Jackson has to come in and completely blow the doors off of everything, but he's still got to have a reason to doing it. He's not just doing it because he's Madcap. He's doing it because that's the way he overcompensates all the time, or he gets things wrong, or he's trying too hard. And that's definitely the way I've tried to think about him.
Well, that's one of the things I loved so much about the story you came up with, which is not just like, okay, let's put Jackson in The Empire Strikes Back, but let's put Jackson like in the worst moment at the worst time. Like he shows up on Cloud City just when Darth Vader has shown up and he's, you know, it's the well-intentioned plan goes horribly wrong, which is a character that because he's got this, you know, Tex Avery kinetic energy too, is kind of a really, really well suited to stories like that. But specifically with this story, what was your goal in trying to balance, you know, the action comedy of errors and like what Jackson is actually trying to accomplish here when he comes to visit his good friend, or as he says, his good friend Lando?
Well, yeah, so I'd written Lando and Jackson together for one of the Star Wars Adventures annuals, and they were just such a good partnership. They worked on so many levels, and I wanted to write them again. And yeah, I wanted to have a chance to show, you know, that again, the reason why he's doing all this, and it's actually show a vulnerability in him, because at the heart of why he's on Cloud City isn't just to see his friend Lando. He's gone there with a very certain aim in mind, because he's got a little bit of hero worship for Lando, and Lando's gone legit as far as he can tell. Lando was made good, and he knows that Lando's probably the worst of the worst. You know, he knows pretty much what Han's like, and know that Han's actually a good guy at heart. But Lando, really? Now he's an authority? So he thinks, well, if Lando can do it, I can do it. And who else is going to be better to help me than Lando Calrissian? So, and I think he honestly believes that Lando will say yes straight away. You know, so he's hurt when Lando is a little bit occupied because he's got someone coming for dinner. So it was a chance to think about, you know, because obviously Jackson has no idea what he's walking into. It's, you know, and he is that cliche about everyone's the center of their own story, and this is completely Jackson's moment when he thinks, this is how I'm going to turn my life around. And hopefully by the time you get to the end of the story, you realize that he has learned something, he has done something, and he is more like Lando than he possibly thinks he is. But not for the reasons he thought he was.
And it's great that you're exploring that same question that Lando's facing, that Han will be facing, which is for folks who find themselves kind of in that smuggler, rogue, not quite, you know, they didn't necessarily sign up to be part of the rebellion, and they're certainly no friend of the Empire. All of these characters at this point in the story of Star Wars and on into Jedi are starting to struggle with that question of like, well, at some point this whole war thing is going to end, and what's my future and what side am I ultimately on? And you can't just sit on the sidelines forever. So do you think that Jackson can go fully legit? Do you think that his future beyond this is, you know, he can achieve the dream of respectability and going legit in a way that he suspects Lando might have by the time he meets him here?
Well, it's funny. Because writing this, I've written Jackson out of order a bit, because two stories before this one was what the story I wrote where Jackson and Lando had an adventure together. At the end of that story, spoilers, Lando offers Jackson a part in the New Republic fleet as a pilot, and sort of tricks him into it in a way, because he lets it slip that Han's doing it. So Jackson's like, well, obviously if Han's doing it, I'm going to do it. But there is a hint that afterwards, yeah, perhaps Jackson does join the fleet, and just imagine what he's like behind an X-wing. But yeah, so there it's the fun thing with playing with these stories and characters, that we are jumping back and forth within that sort of, you know, that period of time, that perhaps he will make it. I can't ever quite see Jackson really making the grade, or actually wanting to. Perhaps he thinks he's wanting to achieve something that he doesn't. And we see glimpses in this story and from some point of view of why he wants to be legit as well. I'd love to know what he's up to in around the time of The Force Awakens, when he's a greying rabbit. So perhaps when we do, from a certain point of view, The Force Awakens, we'll find out.
We'll pick up the story. That sounds like a good idea, you know, 37 years from now.
Exactly. We'll still be there, Tom. Yeah. You know, we'll be as gray as Jackson by that point.
We'll stick around just to make sure we can write that story.
Always.
This was so much fun. As someone who has adored Jackson for all of his outlandishness when you wrote and were just like, can I write a Jackson story? Could not have been happier to have been like, absolutely, you can write a Jackson story. We are going to find a way to make this happen. Thank you so much. And thank you for coming to chat with me about it today. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tom.
And thanks, everyone, for listening. You can read Fake It Till You Make It and all the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, which is available right now from all your favorite bookstores in print, ebook, and as an audio download. Thank you so much. May the force be with you.